Our Father, we open this precious book again. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us, and we thank you for the fact to know that he desires to teach us who we're submitted. And Lord, it's not that we can stay out of this book, not read it, not study it, and learn it. You have to spend time in it. You have to prayerfully approach it and say, Lord, I don't care who's right. I want what's right. And we're dealing with so many things today that changes everything that was started when you started the church years ago. Been changed through the years, but Lord, in these last days, everything is changing and been changed to the point to satisfy bulks of people rather than really satisfying what God wants us to do. Give us wisdom tonight, apply knowledge correctly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know if you've seen lately, but in the last few weeks, I've seen this, but right now, Fox News is fixing to have. You've seen the new program they have before. It'll be a religious program in charge where all denominations come together, and they're saying that we are to be able to converse with each other, because unless we do that, we're going to be fighting each other a good while. And so they're saying we're going to have this program where we'll all get together and have Bible study, but any group, religious group, can come in to this group, and it'll be on the air sometime or another. And they're starting these things all over the country. I heard this past week that Tucker on Fox News said that they had a man on there who said something like 23%, you might have heard this, 23% of Americans, they have no religion at all. Don't even go to church enough, don't believe anything. And you got another big percentage of that who had religion, but that's all. Religion is not salvation, and we know that. And when you hear a person talking about, if they got religion, you say, well, let me ask you a question. There's a lot of religions in this world. I don't care much about what kind of religion you have, but I want to know, do you have Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Now, that'll cut out a lot of people, but on the other hand, there's a lot of people now will tell you they're saved. And they say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, and live like the devil. And what's happened in America, which is at the front at this time, it's changing things so much in lifestyles that everybody here thinks that if I'm not saved, that the God that we believe in is a God so merciful that in the end they're going to try our best. We'll get in anyhow. So we need to understand that God has some principles in his word, and we're going to look at that. And when I think about what we've been studying, sometimes people try to have arguments about the Bible, and it's arguments all. When you have arguments, you do not accomplish anything. We got to learn as Christians how to have sound discussion, biblically oriented, and in turn lay out the principles in such a way that we can be able to say, this is why I believe this. And then if it is within the context of what we see the Holy Spirit leading us, because we're both being led by the Holy Spirit of God, then we can consider it in the directions to go, or to agree or not disagree. Some things we may never agree completely on, but there's some things you better agree on. If not, you're way away from God. I'm going to tell you, when you start moving Jesus Christ away and put him equal to other people in this world as far as leaders of their religious system, ladies and gentlemen, we're going too far. We're going too far. For without him, you will never know who the true and living God is. And so the argument that the Bible, sometimes they say now, you hear this, they're saying, I heard this past week, and all things, the biggest thing right now, because we have a person running for the president in Indiana who's come out to say that, you know, he's who he is. And in turn, he said, if you can't accept that, take it up with my maker. God made me this way. He's a homosexual. He said, God made me this way. And he doesn't care now because it's out in the open. But on the other hand, everybody's coming back now and saying, hey, we need some laws to take care of this, because William and Ace today that God, that what God does, the Bible permits some things now that are not permitted in the Old Testament. And they began to look through the script of the Old Testament. They find things that God said Israel to do, and then in the New Testament where they didn't bring it out as far as the church is concerned. And then you hear people say this, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. And I'll give you a person who said it, Joe Scarborough, who's on Good Morning Joe. And he made this statement, and I heard it. He said, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I want to tell you this. I challenge anyone to listen to me right now, go to the Bible and look at Jesus Christ, and you'll find he never mentioned it. You know, if it was a sin, he would have mentioned it. That's what he said. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. Jesus Christ mentioned a lot of things, but a lot of times you don't deal with things unless you have a problem with it when you're living. It doesn't mean that God changed that. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and I want to tell you, if it is true what they say about some of these things going on, you're going to find he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah one of these days. So I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to, you say, you can't be against something and love people. Don't tell me. Jesus Christ was against sin, but he loved every person who's ever been born. Now, we may not love like he does, but it's our desire to. It's my desire to love a person, even if he cusses me because I don't believe like him, or he won't even listen to what I have to say. It's my desire to still try to love that person. And I believe that's what God tells us to do. So we're going to be looking at some things, and I leave this introduction because what we're getting into something now that's controversial. We have people going, dying, coming back, and giving all kinds of ideas, and a lot of Christians are being caught up into this. And it's sad because God had a lot of things to say about that, and we need to be sure anything we believe is backed up scripturally, but in context. Now, we have to defend arguments with sound Bible doctrine that honors truth rather than just win an argument. I don't care about winning arguments unless, especially if we can't come up with what the truth is. It's my desire to approach Scripture sound biblically, spend the time prayerfully in studying it, and in so doing, that be able to win an argument because it's based on biblical truth, not just to win an argument. And then I see in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to be looking at just a few minutes, some things that God teaches about life. Now, in this, and again, it amazes me, but Dr. Munn, I was talking about it first of the week, and he said, I just got something. And by the way, this came off the press, and this came off the press April the 29th, last Friday, 2019. This was written, and it has no bound on the bottom of it. This is written by a fellow by the name of Oliver Thompson. It's a retired American Baptist minister. So he's not way yonder. He's a Baptist. That's who we are, except we're independent Baptists. Now, let me just show you something. He said, he wrote this article. And by the way, this is the heartbeat of our nation among religious people. And he said this, and I'm going to give this to you because we're going to get into some things. You're going to have to listen. If not, if you float in and out of here, you'll go out and say something I didn't say. And if you don't listen carefully, my mind slips. Sometimes I might say something I shouldn't say, and I need to have it corrected. Because you deal with this, you deal with opinions. Even though you take scripture that God says something about these things in different places, but under the days of grace, everybody seems to think everything is eliminated now, and it's just been known you're saved, that's all. Because they're saying this, if I don't trust him by faith, then I'll trust him by sight when I get there. And I said last week, if God ever trusted someone after they die at the great white throne judgment because they see it by sight, it wouldn't be right for us to have to trust him by faith and go through what we have to go through in the age of grace. So there's no way in the world that it's a cop-out that Satan gives someone to say, well, you know, if I don't really get it right before I stand before God one day, then I'll have a chance to do it then, a second chance. Are there not some second chances? God is always second chances, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm afraid once you die and draw your last breath, it's too late. The second chances is now. Well, maybe somebody'd come back for the day. Well, if they did, it has happened. But it doesn't happen as much as people say it does, I tell you that. And we have some cases, well, it did. But here's what this said. American churches must reject literalism, admit we got it wrong with gay people. Churches will continue to hemorrhage members until we face the truth. Being faithful Christian does not mean accepting everything the Bible teaches. Hogwash. If I didn't believe everything the Bible, why would I get up here and worry and go through things like I do and serve God and do what this, if I didn't believe the Bible, it's true what God tells me. If it's not true, what authority do we have? What truth do we have? I'll tell you this, it's more truth to me than the Quran could be. It's more truth to me than that many other Bibles have been written. And then he goes on and he says, a sad thing has happened in America. The church is killing itself. A great revolution has occurred that is bringing joy and happiness to millions, but it's been met with a resistance and retrenchment from many of my colleagues inside the church. That's the reason you see the mega churches, anybody come anyway. You'll see a lot of times mega churches, we don't teach doctrine at all, we just teach loving people. And we teach, really, if you listen at seminars on how to act and react among ourselves, how to get the best in this life, more than likely, if they got us nowadays that to get believing that if you give like you should, then you're going to get the best. Hey, there's going to be a lot of poor people in heaven get more rich than some of us who've had blessings of God beyond that. Because God doesn't measure on the basis just on the fact of what we are and where we're at in our status, unless it's how we're in position of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on and said the revelation of this LB LGBTQ. Anybody ever get some letters on this, folks? And you pray because you, listen, somebody has got to have at least think they got the truth to counteract. Because if you hear all that and don't hear the other side, how are you going to know what to compare it to? Now that's the difference in when you have in a church. That's the reason God said He gave the church all these gifts, like teachers, evangelists, missionaries, and so forth. He gives them because they play a part. There's a time we need stirring up. Evangelists can do that. But there's a time you need direct teaching of this book. So we can feed our soul when we get in that world. And we're not necessarily trying to win anybody. We're trying to live so we can win somebody. But when we face somebody, we can talk to them intellectually with truth. Know this, if I do that to a person, then they may rebel back. But if they do, I walk away knowing I please God. At least until He shows me otherwise. And I'll study the Scriptures to try to find that out. And he goes on. He said, they are not, here's what they said. They are not perverts, nor are they abnormal. As the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual, mental health experts once declared them to be. People don't choose their sexual orientation any more than they choose their race and gender. This is what lay behind a recent comment, talking about Mayor Pete Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana, the Vice President, Mike Pierce. Thank God he said that. He's a born-again Christian. And by the way, you need to pray for Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham also come out and said he needed to repent. Did you hear that? He said he needs to repent, get right with God. And boy, the news meetings have gone against him now. They're probably going to hurt him some financially because he don't plan to stand. And by the way, I don't have a national voice, but I hope I got at least some people say in this area, a lot of folks do listen to us. I'm amazed. I told Barbara, the place that we've been here the last few weeks, if everybody really loves us that good, this place would be full. It'd be all I've ever seen. I mean, the place we see. I was in one place with a pastor. And in turn, praise the Lord, his mother was there. And when after the service, she came up and said, I'll tell you one thing, preacher. I was at your church back in Denver. We loved it. If I lived in this house, I told my son that that's why I'd be a member of it. I said, don't tell me that. He's a dear friend of mine. Amen. But what I'm saying is that here, we are trying our best to understand some things about God. And he goes on. By the way, like I said again, pray for Franklin. And then he goes on and he talks about, the leadership, he said, the United Methodist, one of America's most beloved denominations, are doubling down on their opposition to gay clergy and gay marriage by threatening exposure to congregations that don't toe to the line. Now, isn't it amazing? I'd have thought Methodists have been one, but they're doing better than Baptists are. And I say, amen. And what they're saying is this, and I'm just reading to you now. If you want a copy of this, you can have a copy of it. I'm reading, he said, the threat of particular anonymous given that the denomination rather than the local congregation that paid for them. In other words, he said, it's the leadership that's leading them, the people in the congregation who's paying their salaries ought to be the one who comes up and says that's wrong. No, it ought to be God-fearing people who say it's wrong. Because the Bible talks about it. And he goes on and he says, here, now I can't read all this because I want to get back into study. He said, here's the corner we have painted ourselves into. Now, we've heard this many times. And he said, we painted ourselves into, and he puts it this way, the Bible says that I believe in that settles it. I don't even believe it that way. I believe the Bible, I believe that the Bible, let me get it right now. I believe the Bible says it, that settles it, and we better believe it. But he said it the other way. And he said, yet the Hebrew and Christian scriptures did not float down from heaven perfect and without error. They were written by men, and those men made mistakes. A few of the more obvious ones include the source of inspiration for censures taken during the time of King David. And he goes on and talks about how mistakes were made about figures and so forth along that line. And I don't have time to read all of that. But it goes on, and here's what Joe said the other night when he's talking about his challenge people to see if Christ didn't mention. He said, they say, you love your neighbors yourself, does not leave room for the enslavement of others. And he goes on, he said, a similar thing happened when women writes, while the Apostle Paul again exhorted women to submit to their husbands and so forth. He said, reason, experience, and taught otherwise. And then let me just move on. He said, we got it wrong with the Gays and Lesbians. He said, churches, we got it wrong. He said, this should not alarm or surprise us. We have learned some things that the ancients including Moses and Paul, simply did not know. Not even Jesus, who was fully human and therefore limited to what first century humans knew, could know about things like cancer and schizophrenia and atomic energy and many other things that the centuries have taught us. Don't tell me he was God in the flesh. The only thing he might have done is laid it up on the shelf somewhere or another, but he could pull it down anytime he wanted to. When he come in a body, he did lay some things aside, but he was still God. You say, preacher, you can't prove that. If he's not, while we're here, we don't even pray. Let's just go home and live it up. Amen. But can't we just meet somewhere or another and do things we never did before? You say, you want to do that? No, I don't want to do that because the Holy Spirit tells me no. But I'm telling you, if God is not who he is, folks, we're fools. But the Bible says the one who believes they're not a God is a fool. So you say, if he calls someone a fool, no. We're just saying we understand the fact that if God's not real, we'll be fooled to follow him. But we're telling that God tells us there's the fool is the one who don't believe in a God. And he's not talking about any God. He's talking about the God of the Bible. And he goes on and he makes this statement. He says, it's difficult to watch people, good people, and the churches are full of them, buy into the sincere but misguided notion that being faithful Christian means accepting everything the Bible teaches. If we don't, folks, what are we going to do? And they're saying, oh, we need to file it out and pick out the things that's for us in our day. Folks, listen, I don't want to sound too harsh, but you ain't smart enough to do that. We're not smart enough to pick out what God said. Not if it's not all God, let's forget it. So I go on and I say, Lord, help me as I look at this. And yet all this and more, he says, is commanded by the Bible. The time has come for Christians to take a deep breath and ask themselves, what does love in my neighbor and my enemy and myself look like? And, of course, as I said that, I realized what we're getting into now on some things that can be debated on about what happens to people who die and come back and seen this and that, the other, and are telling us. And then look at what God said. We live in an age today more so that's advanced than ever been before. Aren't you glad that we live when we do? You know, somebody, I'll give you one example, and I'm going to look at this later, just before we get into study here. They're talking about God has always said keep the Sabbath. Even when Christ was here, he kept the Sabbath, though he went to the synagogue as well as to the temple. And they're saying that you don't find where God ever changed that. In the sense that God said, now keep the first day of the week rather than the Sabbath. And they're saying there's a case where, in turn, that the church took the initiative to do that, and they did it for no reason. Oh, you don't know they didn't. They did it for a reason. Because God wants us to understand that we're not under the Old Testament system. We're not under the Leviticus system. Because if we had to keep the Sabbath, folks, we'd have to bring, next time we come up here, a lamb and somebody slay it. But Jesus, I don't understand this. You know what? I understand what it means, though, when you get a little older and suddenly you see things changing so fast, you get that righteous indignation. You want to take a whip. Now, somebody hear that? No, I guarantee you. I'm joking with you. But don't you understand why Jesus did what he did? He sees things we don't see, and we see enough. He went into that temple and saw it had been used as something that should not be used. And it shows there's a time that anger does come, and there's a righteous indignation of anger against that which is evil. And when you have that, then you have to ask God to us. We can't do what he did. But we ask God to help us do what we can do to show love, even when there's a time to be angered at things. And so now we come back to our study for a few minutes. Y'all don't use no more time. You don't give me another hour. But as I go to this, we talked about last week, there's a second chance. Is there a second chance after death? And I said, no, not unless there is a miracle of God that brings someone back and they get a second chance. I believe, and I don't go back for that anymore, the only opportunity you and I ever have to get right with God is the opportunity God affords us right now. God said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And we have no promise of tomorrow. But you know somebody that died and come back, but you may not come back. Well, wait a minute. There are some people who believe there's another place, purgatory. Well, we don't believe that. You can't find that in the scriptures. So here they are talking about things, and they said, well, we don't agree, argue with a thing. We all believe in the same God. Boy, I'm sure glad I don't believe in everybody's God. I'll be honest with you, if he's not the true God, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go, God. I'm saying, I don't know where to go. Because there's no other God I've ever seen or read that I even want to follow, because he don't impress me at all. If this is not the true God, folks, I don't know if there is one. Now, somebody clipped that off and claimed that I didn't know there is one. You heard what I said, didn't you? You heard what I said? Somebody clipped that off and sent it back, just like newsmen do a lot of things, and send back and try to claim that I claim. So here I find that today faith is in Christ is needed, not sight. Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's faith, such things hope for, everything's not seen. It's through faith in Christ that we get saved. If faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, then our faith to trust Christ comes from here, not because somebody came from the dead. Now, if we were living in Christ's day and Christ raised someone from the dead, that's fine. But that just gives me assurance of the fact he's who he is, and therefore I could trust him, or I'm glad I am trusting him. But I don't take that to believe it just because someone said that happened. But this here is truth. And I thank God for as I look at that. And then that's the question we're going to look at. And next week we'll get more into some of these, because I'm interested in them and I just hope you'll listen. What about near-death experiences? When you come to the place, these experiences are more popular today than you ever seen before. And I read a few weeks ago about Raymond Moody. And there's other books that have been written, Second Chances to Return Back, to Come Back to the Earth. Some of these books have been extremely popular, and many Christians begin to embrace some of these books because it sounds so good about what they saw. And everyone I ever read who studied this in depth, more have more ability to do it than I do, have said you have to be very careful when you're reading that, because if you're not careful, you'll find where God condemned it, and they're saying it's okay. And I'm going to tell you something. When God condemns something in the right place, and someone says it's okay, I'm going to believe God rather than that person. And so I go on, and I see some of these books have been extremely popular. And like I said, a close inspection shows that most of these books embrace, and I've seen them read behind some people who've studied more than I have, unbiblical heresy. Either the notion they are saved by good works, or the idea that everyone's going to be saved in the end anyhow. And by the way, did you know that most people who are not saved believe that everybody's going to get saved anyhow? Either it's purgatory or after this, God give us. God is so merciful. God is so, and by the way, he is God. You know, when we say that as Christians, we're not saying that because we're putting him down. He is the most merciful, good person that's ever lived. But on the other hand, he showed that at Calvary enough for me to know that if one bypasses Calvary, and in so, when they go bypass Calvary and refuse to receive Christ as their Savior, they're saying God's a liar. They're calling God a liar. Because they're saying he won't do what he said he'd do in the method he set up. And therefore, there's no way in this world that they would ever come back and change just because they wouldn't believe what he said to start with along that line. And so we see that one hand, it's undeniable truth that Bible characters see the Lord from time to time. And there is no doubt at this time that we see in the Bible characters such as Stephen himself in Acts 7 saw Jesus just before he died. Paul was evidently given a vision, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And someone said, in studying behind this, he probably got this vision stone in Lystra in Acts chapter 14, verse long about 11, 12 to 19. But I know this, there are times that where we see biblically there are things where people came and saw from the other side. And it's important to say, though, that when you see these revelations, they did not happen often. They were rare extents, rare conditions where they happened, and in turn, God honored that at the time. So the sinful nature, though, will destroy spiritual acts sooner or later if those spiritual acts are not seen in the eye of truth to counteract what the sinful nature does. If you don't do what God says to do, then the sinful nature is saying it's right by obeying that rather than obeying God. And the sinful nature is never delivered from anything. It has to be removed completely through the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood of Christ, you and I have no chance to conquer this sinful nature. It will want to do. See, it's always around. Can I show, Lord, I get on these rabbit trails. Ken, come here, just don't you help me, brother. He's going to be my sinful nature. Now, when I got saved, I covered him up with God's help. I covered him up. And I don't care. I wish I had a rope here. I don't have, but I don't care. I don't care how far. I don't care how far I go. You just stay there for a minute. I may begin to grow in grace and knowledge, and he just put down. And I get further, and all of a sudden I get further. But sooner or later, this old sinful nature is going to do something, brother. Take my hand. Yank me back. Oh, not too hard. But what happens is this. It's with me all the time. No matter how hard I try, I can be as close to God as anybody else is, but the old sinful nature is there. And he don't work all the time. He just waits. After a period of time, you see in that book, he knows that God's going to help you. He knows God is greater, but if he can get you to think God's not there, he's going to pull me back. And what's he going to do? He's going to bring up something I did 50 years ago. And he'll say, hey, you know something? You got those people fooled. You think God's took care of you. Why are you even thinking about it now? And all of a sudden, you had to get back in that book. And that's when you have to grow. And then you begin to find that later on, that voice gets lesser and God's voice gets greater. And that, I'll never get rid of him. But he gets lesser and gets lesser and gets lesser. And after a while, I'll get away from him. In there, thank you, brother. I get away from him. So that's what I'm saying. Growing in grace and knowledge is in need, ladies and gentlemen, this book. Without that, I'll never be what we need to be. I can't understand why somebody don't want to be under the sound of God, the gospel. I can't understand why someone want to be sound of the teacher. I know sometimes, you know, I know it's like that. I used to have a history teacher. I did pretty good on it, but I'd cry after about the first 2 weeks. I went to sleep every time I went to his class. He had a class ring like this, and he sat up there, and as he talked, you get in rhythm of that thing. And he didn't know he was doing it. And I'd go to sleep. I passed the class. But sometimes that's what happens to us. I wonder tonight how many here almost went to sleep me talking. I don't know who it was the other day. I was telling that somebody was talking about. And they did that joking way, and I enjoyed it. They couldn't hardly sleep at night, hardly. And he looked and said, why don't you get one of the pastor's messages? He does that a lot of people in our church every Sunday. I love that. I love that. Amen. So I'll give you a couple of things, that'll be it. So what happens is, when you begin to look at these different things that happens, revelation did not happen often, even in Bible times. Not every believer had or will have a revelation of heaven. Could such things happen today? Yes, but I wouldn't count on it. Ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't count on me dying and coming back before I went into eternity permanently. I just wouldn't do it. Now, that's when I want to read this here, if you will. Let me read this to you, and then you'll understand why I'm leading into the next few weeks. If you look in chapter 11 with me in 2 Corinthians, we're talking about now. You have to keep in mind, remember that Satan is a deceiver. He's the greatest deceiver of all. And in this deceiver, he can create scenes that seem like heaven, but act for creation of hell. Born in hell. Some near-death experiences are demonic in nature. You should never base your hope of heaven. You should never base the hope of seeing loved ones in heaven on supposed visions and revelation. The only reliable ground or source that we have is the eternal, unchanging Word of God. And this helps me understand. We'll read this and go home. God, do it, and I do it quick. Look away in verse 6 of chapter 1. Come down. Paul said, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. I love that. Because in some way, I'm rude in speech. When he said rude, he didn't mean he was talking foul language. It meant that he just had a problem talking. And I joke a lot about Johnston County dialect. But the older you get, the worse it gets to try to talk. You know that? Two things happen. Can't get the words out plain. Secondly, my voice begins to go down. And I have to say, hey, wait a minute. You've got to be heard first. I got to be loud, and then I get too loud, and they don't understand what I say. But you keep constantly trying to adjust so that God can use it. And then he said, have I committed an offense in the base of myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of the God freely. And he said, have I offended you because I've tried to do what God has called me to do? He said, I've robbed other churches. I love this. I've robbed other churches. Now, he didn't go in there with a gun to mass and rob them. He said, I've taken money from other churches. Notice this. I've robbed other churches, taken wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was likened to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied and all things, and I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. He said, if it means for me doing what I have to do, and he was attempting to make another thing, I'll do that. Now, by the way, the Bible teaches us a man's worthy of his heart, but this is a guy, here's where a guy said, I'll go in there and start, and I'll do what I need to do to get it started. And I thank God that's what we did. And that's the reason I love Brother Johnson the other day. That's what he's doing. He said, I'll just be right here and work till I can get enough in here to work. Because if you do that and come to a point, the time that the church can move what it's supposed to do, then that means I have to leave what I was doing and do what God wants me to do. But there's nothing wrong in those early years. And he said, that's to these people. He's talking the same way. If I have to, I work. And of course, Paul took, he talked about other places. He took offerings from churches, and he did here. Then I like my going, he's leading up to something about how the false teachers are confronting him. He said, the truth of Christ is in me. No man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore I, because I love you not, God knoweth. In other words, he didn't say, I don't love you. He said, because I do love you. And that is it. It's not, I don't say that I love you, because he's showing that he does. He goes on and said, but what I do, that I will do. That, notice that, I may cut off occasion, that's opportunity, from them which desire occasion or opportunity, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. He says, some people, I may cut off the opportunity. What I do, that I will do, that I may cut off the opportunity from them which desire opportunity to do something against him. They don't do it for God's glory. They do it for their own glory. But he says, what I do, I still do for the glory, that they may be found even as we. My desire is that they'll see what he's doing and be what he is and be, like he said later, be your followers of me and I saw Christ. Now, verse 13 is where we get to, and here's where we're going to have to the center of what we'll be doing in the next few weeks. For such are false apostles, notice, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Now he said, and don't marvel at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I want you to notice something. They follow Satan so much in 13 that he said that they, notice, with such false prophets, deceitful workers, transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They do it themselves. And then he said, don't worry, don't be astonished about that. But Satan's able to do that himself. He said, even to an angel of light. Therefore, now because of these two things, it is no great thing if his ministry, that Satan ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now I wonder how these people are going to explain that. And he goes on. So what he's telling, Paul said, if you take the opportunity to follow me, because I'm following Christ, you will boast only according to that truth. And you'll understand my situation. And so what God is doing is not trick. It's nothing unhanded or deceptive. God is not doing tricks. God is not doing magical things. God is doing miracles. And when you see those miracles, you know that he did it. And it will open up a whole new field that you can know who the true and living God is and not get off on these tributaries trying to follow someone who is a false god because someone else is following a false god. And so in the next few weeks, we'll begin looking at some of these that I've been talking about here. For instance, the only reliable ground given to us about what God is doing is the Word of God. And we're going to talk about these. Now, what happens to two children when they die? Boy, I've been in this. We're going to talk about, can we contact the dead after they're gone? Boy, this is something that even have in television programs now. People have live television programs in the past and contact the dead. What does God have to say about that? And then we're talking about what happens at the moment of death for the saved. And then one thing, what do you say to someone who has lost a loved one when children die? What happens? Father in heaven, we're going to thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, we're human, but thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we depend on you, Lord. And Father, if we were lazy and not study the Word of God, then that certainly gives no, it does not give us authority to get up and try to teach it. We have to study. You said, study shall prove thyself unto you. And Lord, we might begin to understand what is that good and perfect will of God. We're to study that God, the Holy Spirit, could teach us and help us put it together. But studying in the light of Scripture. God forbid we ever study something to try to make the Bible say something we'd like to do. Help us be open-minded when we study it, Lord. And when we are, feed our mind. Give us the unction and the power that's needed. First to understand it, and then give us that what's needed to teach it. Because the Bible all the way through shows us that if you teach the truth that as near as we know how is the truth, only Jesus taught absolute truth. Only the Holy Spirit gave absolute truth. As we look at that truth and try to teach it only as we know how, Lord, look what truth did to them. And then we can expect, even though we may not have it together like they did, we're growing, we're trying, and what little truth we do teach, we're going to receive from satanic forces power against that. And in the last days, that's what's going to happen in the tribulation period to the Prince of Peace come back. And Lord, he's coming back one day to set up his kingdom. Until that day comes, though, we're in the age of grace right on. The next thing we're looking for, the rapture of the church. And I pray you'd help us be what we need to be for that. And as we look at what's happened on the scale, Lord, we have no national exposure. A lot of these people who are now starting these things for all denominations together and all religious people together, they're starting that for the purpose they think to have harmony. But that's the only thing he's going to do there. It's what we see happen back in Genesis chapter 9 and 10 with Nimrod and the Babylonian system, which is the satanic world system that's in the world since that day. And of course, the systems you started out, your systems with Abraham and the nation of Israel, and now the church in the age of grace. So please help us, Lord. We love it. We want to be lovable. We want to do our best to do this and keep a loving face and do our best to show people that we disagree, that we love them. But same time, Lord, we must ask you to help us. I know they say we're the experts, but no, they tell us they're the experts because they go against you. And we don't want to do that, Lord. Let this be a place of learning, not only worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.